Once upon a time, there was a man. A man who faced adversity with a smile on his face. A man who knows no boundaries, knows no words, knows no information, and yet somehow sits in front of you, bold-faced, and entertains you for up to an hour every weekday. A man who sacrifices his own insanity in order to make your life a little stranger. Who is this man? Who is this King of Kings, this Queen of Queens, this Ace of Spades? Who is this man who has sacrificed his life in order to make yours better? Is it a super being? Is it a man who has been anointed by the very powers of from above? Is it a man, or is it a Superman? That man sits before you right now as he prepares to make your life more enhanced, enriched, fuller, more beautiful, all the adjectives you can think of. And as you go through your day of pain and sorrow, joy and happiness, this man waits. Who is this man who has been delivered from the gods? Who makes this all worthwhile? This man is me, Ron Van Dam.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. In an egotistical, absurd manner. No, I'm nothing special. I'm but a little zit on your face. I am but a pimple in the universe. But I thank you for listening to this. I sure do. If I could pay you to listen to this, I would. If I could get you to pay me to listen to this, I would do that even more. But I think that's difficult. Maybe I'll start asking for donations. Just like a church. I'll say, I'm not charging you for this, but if you could just like feed my family, like a cupcake or something, that would help. Maybe I'll start a food bank for myself. Ron, excuse me, I've looked at your stomach. You're not starving. That's not from food. That's from bloating. Don't you understand? Women bloat once a month during their thing, their bitchy time. My bitchy time is not once a month. It is once an hour. That is my bitchy time. Bitchy, bitchy, bitchy time. Bitchy, bitchy, bitchy time. Anyway, welcome to the program. I've accomplished absolutely nothing. I think I've been doing now, this is about 6 minutes into the show, and I've accomplished absolutely nothing. I'm not even here to accomplish anything. What I'm here to do is to waste your time to some extent. Wait, don't go. Wait a minute. Please don't go. Because you haven't paid me yet. You haven't donated to my food bank. Do you ever give blood? I'm not talking about falling off your bicycle and your knees start bleeding and you're giving blood to the pavement. I'm not talking about that. Did you ever say to yourself, I'm a little short on cash. I think I'll give up some of my life juice in order to make ends meet. I don't care for people taking my blood. As a matter of fact, I'm deathly afraid of blood transfusions. My mother had a blood transfusion about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. She was lying in a hospital bed. She had some type of a blood thing going on. And the doctor said, we're going to have to give you a blood transfusion. And to that I said, what does that mean? And the doctor said, we're going to put some new blood in you. Not in me, but in your mother. And I said, oh, okay. Is this drinkable? He said, no, we have to inject it into her veins. She'll have brand new blood. And then I'm thinking, okay, like, thanks for the rejuvenation update. But whose blood are you putting in my mother? Is it the blood of a heroin addict? Is it the blood of a vampire? Is it the blood of somebody that is an asshole? I mean, I don't want asshole blood in my mother. Not that the blood came from an asshole, although I have had that situation before. Do you ever? this is probably the worst show I've ever done. Have you ever been to the bathroom and you do your number two, and let's just leave it at that, and you get up and you do the ceremonial wiping of the asshole? And it looks like Niagara Falls, and you're bleeding, and you go, oh my God, I'm bleeding out of an orifice that I don't think I'm supposed to be bleeding out of. As a matter of fact, I don't think you're supposed to be bleeding anywhere. When I get a nosebleed, what runs through my mind is that, I'm going to be totally drained. All the blood is going to rush out of my nose, and I'll have no blood left. And I think, I don't know how long it takes for the body to produce its own blood, but I'm feeling it's more than 6 seconds. Anyway, I don't know how I got, well, the blood of an asshole, that's how I got to that. All right, now I remember. I think my memory's getting better on things that I really should be forgetting. Has that happened to you? Ron, Jesus Christ, you're all over the map today. Calm down, man. And I don't take drugs. Isn't that amazing? I don't take, well, Lipitor. I don't know if that's considered a drug. By the way, Lipitor, apparently, if taken by women, can give you type 2 diabetes if you're a woman. And I take Lipitor, and I'm wondering, like, why don't I get diabetes? I mean, what's wrong with me? I mean, why do women get type 2 diabetes and not men? Why is that not a suable offense? So I'm just saying. Anyway, that's the only drug I take is Lipitor, and I don't really necessarily need it because my cholesterol level is like totally under control, like really totally. I think I just take it because it sounds fun. It's good for conversation, you know, when you get together with other people. How are you doing? Fine, got on my Lipitor. I'm on the Lipitor. Apparently, Lipitor is also supposed to be good for your heart. I mean, even if you don't really need it in small doses, it's good for your heart. So, who knew? Who knew? Hey, here's an interesting story. And I have no idea how I got here, by the way. This is like getting in a car and you turn, this happened to you? You're like at work or something, or at home, and you're going somewhere, and you turn the car on, and you pull out of your driveway, if you live in one, and you're driving, and the next thing you know it, you're at your destination about 45 minutes later, and for the life of you, you can't remember driving to where you just got to. It's like, oh my God, did I blank out, but the car just knew where to go? Does that happen to you? No, sorry to waste your time. Abby Lee Miller, does that name sound familiar to you? You had sex with her? No, that's not why it sounds familiar with you. Or to you, not with you, or to you. Familiar to you, familiar with you. To you. Abby Lee Miller is that fat hunk of shit who's, the dance mom. She's a dance instructor on Dance Moms. You watch Dance Moms? There's no reason for you to watch that show, by the way. It's on Lifetime. That's why I see it, because I enjoy the Lifetime channel. I enjoy seeing women in peril and then killing off their offensive male counterparts at the very end of the film. As a matter of fact, the Lifetime movies don't resolve themselves until pretty much the credits are rolling over their faces. And there's always like every Lifetime movie ends with the camera pulling back into a wide shot. The successful woman now she's successful, although she's been paralyzed for the entire 2 hours. But at the end, now she's successful. She wins out, and she's walking into the distance, and the camera pulls back to the point where she's just a little pin on the screen now, and then the credits roll. This all happens within the last 30 seconds of the film. And every Lifetime movies is exactly the same. They just change the plot, and sometimes they never change the actresses in the Lifetime movies. It's always the same women. Anyway, Dance Moms is on the Lifetime network, and Abby Lee Miller is the name of this dance queen, this dance instructor, and she's teaching all these little shits how to dance. And she's a chubby woman. She's a chubby woman. All of a sudden, Abby Lee Miller, apparently, according to the news sources, not that this is news or anything, she has lost a tremendous amount of weight, and she doesn't even look like her fat self anymore. She's lost weight, and people are remarking at it because, you know, she's on TV, and she used to be like a fat dance instructor, and now she's not fat anymore all of a sudden. So people are saying, "Oh, was it liposuction? Was it stapling stomach things?" By the way, if you want to get your stomach stapled, Staples has a special this weekend: 30% off all notebooks. Staples could make a lot of money if they did stomach stapling. They really could. I mean, with just a large fucking staple gun. And if you're overweight and you don't want to be overweight, you go to Staples that weekend and they'll open your stomach and staple it closed. I think I started talking about blood transfusions. I'll get back to that maybe next week. So anyway, how did Abby Lee Miller lose so much weight? Now everybody wants to know. It wasn't through surgery. It wasn't through any extreme diet kind of thing where you, like, you know, Weight Watchers or what's that other thing there? Nutrisystems or Nutra, whatever, where you buy the meals, they send the meals to you frozen, and in the meals are all preservatives and like 2,000 milligrams of salt and sodium. So you'll lose weight, but you'll die afterwards from the food, you know? So like, what's the point of losing? I guess so you can fit in a casket. I guess that's what these weight loss programs are all about. I don't do weight loss programs or late loss programs where they supply the food, because that is like they're feeding you poison. Check the label on that stuff. Ugh. Ugh. Our foods are just fine. Whatever. That's fine. I'm not downing you. I'm just saying, check the labels. That's all I'm saying. You can't sue me. I'm just saying, check the labels. 2,000 milligrams of salt, maybe that's good for you. I don't know. I don't think so, but whatever. I'm exaggerating. It's not 2,000 milligrams. It's more like 800. But if that's good for you, eat away. Just, I'm just saying, check the labels. That's all I'm saying. So Abby Lee Miller, how did you do it? Here's how she lost her weight. Was it through diet pills? Nay, nay. Uh-uh, said the cow. No. She apparently, because she is a fat dance instructor, and I don't mean that in a nasty way. I mean, I'm fat, really. I mean, the government calls you fat if you weigh over your birth weight. You're fat. You're obese. The government doesn't fool around. It fools around with everything except for weight. The government says that if you're a few pounds over what they think you should be, and that's just a number that they pick out of thin air, then you're not only overweight, you are obese. You have to be tied down by strings like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day float because you are so obese. You are disgustingly grotesque. That's the next category. There's overweight, there's obese, and disgustingly grotesque. All government phrases. How did Abby Lee Miller, the dance mom instructor, how did she lose her weight? Here's what happened. Because she is overweight, I'm sorry, morbidly obese, gruesomely, horribly obese, she developed type 2 diabetes, which a lot of people do, and you don't even have to be obese to develop diabetes. It's an equal opportunity disease. Everybody can get it, Whoopi Goldberg. So she went, and she was doing her dance moms things in Australia. I guess there was a dance competition in Australia with the dance moms and the little kids. And someone recommended in Australia a medication for diabetes. And she has it, so she took it. And apparently it made her freaking sick. She started throwing up and felt nauseous. Wasn't in any danger or anything, but the pills just nauseated her and made her throw up. But they were controlling her diabetes. You know, the sword of Damocles, sort of, I suppose. I mean, like Sophie's Choice, you know, which kid do you want to give up? Your diabetes, or do you want to throw up all day? Well, it turns out that throwing up was not such a bad idea for Abby Lee Miller because she started dropping weight. In other words, the food that she ate didn't all stay down. It would come up. We have a name for that disease here where you eat something and then you go to the bathroom and you throw it up and you're always thin. I don't want to say the word because I think they charge you for that. Just like when you sing the birthday song publicly, you have to pay for that. So she started losing weight. She started eating what she wanted, and a lot of it would be thrown up later on in the day, and she actually started losing weight. So now her diabetes are under control, medically, fantastic. They're under control for two reasons. One is because she lost the weight, and the second is because she throws up everything she eats. Now, here's the point to the whole story, which has nothing to do with blood transfusions, which is what I started the show with. Are you following all of this, by the way? Are you writing this down? Because this is very confusing even to me. Even to me, the man. Okay, here's what happened to me. Do you want to hear what happened to me that has to do with all of this? Here's what happened to me.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
All right, here's what happened. I was actually on WBZ radio about, I'd say about 12 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago. I was on the Jordan Rich show. Jordan Rich has a show that is on the air from midnight until 5 in the morning. It's on all night. WBZ radio goes out, its signal goes all the way into Canada. I think it reaches something like 26 states, which is like half the country. It's got a big freaking antenna or something. A very powerful station. And Jordan does this show overnight when basically nobody's listening whatsoever. Although if you're going to 26 states, I guess someone's up somewhere puking their brains out or something. So anyway, so I'm a guest on his radio show because I had written a book there called Shut Up, I'm Walking Down the Aisle. It's a comedy book about planning for weddings and all the funny things that happen when you're planning a wedding. A mildly successful book. So I'm on a book tour and I'm promoting the book and I'm on the Jordan Rich show and it's midnight and I'm on the show and I get there. Now the WBZ Studios is Channel 4, their CBS affiliate in Boston. And it's on Soldiers Field Road, which, by the way, is a horrible part of Boston. It's kind of like Alston, Purina. It's Alston, Cambridge. It's like on the border of like a lot of shitty towns or towns that you can't really get to. But at midnight, I guess you can get anywhere because everybody's sleeping, as I should have been. So I get to this these big broadcast studios. And sitting on a desk, there are a lot of desks outside of the talk studio there. And on one of the desks is a gigantic platter of fried clams. I'd say there were about like 300 fried clams in this thing. Originally, when I got there, there's about 50 fried clams left. And you can see the grease from the fried clams on this. It's a gigantic paper plate kind of platter, and you can see the grease stains on it. But I'm hungry. I'm about to go on the air. It's about to be midnight. And Jordan says, well, help yourself to anything you want. There's some water down the hall. Have some fried clams. They've been sitting there a little while, but they're really good. I say, okay, fine. And I take the fried clam and I put it in my mouth, and it's very tasty. It's greasy and it's cold. It's bone cold, but it's tasty. And I have about maybe 10 or 15 little fried clam things and some water and wonderful. And they're tasty. You know, I like cold food and it's been sitting out, you know, why not? So I go on the air and I'm talking to Jordan Rich and we're talking and it's in the good show. And I'm on for about an hour and a half and it's about 1:30 in the morning. And Jordan goes to a commercial. And he says, Ron, thanks for being here. And he's like, well, and I go home. And I go home and it's, you know, I go to sleep because it's like, I get home like at 3 a.m. and it's really, you know, you don't stay up at 3. You go to bed. And I went to bed. I got up the next morning. My stomach is in knots. It's like a sailor came in and just started tying my intestines together to the point where it was excruciating. I had gas pains like there's no, I didn't know what a gas pain was until that morning. I was just sick and I started puking by like 9 o'clock in the morning. I was puking my brains out. I saw all those clams come back at me and everything that I had in the past week was coming out of my mouth. It was unbelievable. It was like, revisitation of everything I had done, gastronomically in the prior week, all paid a visit to me again in my sink. And I purged and I blew the house down and I threw up all day. And at a point it felt kind of good to get all this stuff out of my system, but this a tremendous amount of gas, tremendous amount of stomach pain. And I'm thinking I really should be going to the doctor, but it was obviously the fried clams. But were they bad? Were they tainted? Am I poisoned? Am I going to live? And that's when the diarrhea set in, which was like Mount Vesuvius, man. It was like unbelievable. This cleaned my system. It cleaned my clock. It was to the point where it's like one of those what do you call those machines there that the Zamboni, the ones that clean the ice at the hockey rinks, you know, the Zamboni. A fucking Zamboni went through my body, cleaned my clock. This went on for about a day. The next morning I got up, I felt better, got on the scale. I had lost 4 pounds in one day. And I thought, medically, that sucks. But physically, that's wonderful. I felt like calling the government, although I don't know their phone number, and saying, hello, government, I'm no more obese. I'm not gruesomely fat anymore. I lost 4 pounds. I ate the next day, and lo and behold, later in that day, I threw up again. I vomited once more. My food was not staying down. Some of it stayed with me. A lot of it said, I'm sorry, I can no longer stay in your body because it sucks in here. I must vacate the body through your mouth and also through your ass. I mean, any way out, we're coming. I mean, watch your ears, man, because we're coming out. I had lost, ladies and gentlemen, this went on for about 4 or 5 days where the food that I ate would come out in forms that I had never seen before in my life. Alien forms coming out of my body, all from these fried clams. This was on a Saturday night that happened, and by Wednesday I was still puking. But I had lost, I couldn't believe it, I had lost 10 pounds in like 4 days. That's a lot of pounds, baby. I was the happiest guy in the world. Wasn't feeling great, but I was happy. Those pounds, and then my body kind of healed itself, and I was better. But I stayed at 10 pounds lower for a good 2 weeks after that, no matter what I ate. And of course, yes, you know the story. 2 weeks later, the puking stopped, and the effect of the tainted fried clams was over, and I put my weight back on. But I had discovered the meaning of life, and that's to eat rancid food. Now, if you eat rancid food, you are taking a chance that you could kill yourself or damage your organs. Again, these are some of the choices one makes in their lives. So in other words, you can be deathly sick, but look good, to the point where your friends, if you have any, will walk up to you and say, Ron, you're looking really good and pale and yellow and sick, but you've lost weight. You're looking good, but you're not looking good. But you're looking really good, but you're not looking good. I mean, you've lost weight, you're looking thin, you're looking trim, but you look like you're going to die. So, but Ron, you're looking good. I got to tell you, you're looking good. Is something wrong?
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Yeah, you are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. And thank you for doing so. You're really wonderful. I owe you so much, really, in the long run. I owe you nothing. You know what? It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day.
I can't believe that you and I are listening to that crap. That's the Brady Bunch, who have absolutely no musical talent whatsoever, actually are singing and actually made some money off of that record. You know what the lesson is? Even if you suck, you can do very, very well, as is exemplified by this actual podcast, by this radio program. It is absolutely true. It can be done. Anyway, getting back to the blood transfusions, which is what I started with about half an hour ago. I am deathly afraid of blood transfusions because I don't know whose blood. I don't know. I can't. There's something about... There's one thing. If somebody kisses you, you've got their lip on your face and on your lips for, you know, like a minute. Some people like that. I think it's invasive. Especially tongue kisses, like, ooh, you're getting into me now. You're inside of me with your tongue. Is that a sign of passion, or are you sticking your tongue in my mouth? Why are you doing something like that? Who came up with the concept that sticking a tongue into somebody else's mouth was a sexy thing to do? Why? I understand the sex thing. I understand, you know, the male and female part sex thing, because you get a good little tingle going on. You know, there is a feeling that protrudes your entire body, and it's called sex. And I get the act of intercourse. I do understand that. But who actually thought that if I take my tongue, which is where I salivate, eat my food, and it's real close to my nose with all that junk in it, who thought that sticking your tongue into my mouth would be something that would be considered erotic at any given point in anybody's life? Who came up with that? Hey, baby, you know what I want to do to you? I want to take my tongue and stick it in your mouth. Hey, baby, you know what I want to do? I want to take my finger and I want to poke it in your eye. Uh-huh. Hey, baby, I want to take my shoes off, remove my socks, and stick my big toe in your filthy, cruddy ear. Hey, baby, I want to take my dirty old weed whacker that I've used to edge trim my mulch beds, and I want to stick it up your ass. Because I love you.
Satellites gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of satellites gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with park and cars. I watched it for a little while. I love
to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of. I've been told that you've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday to Thursday with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellites gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all natural salt preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts.
Tasty stuff, baby. Tasty stuff. Hey, yeah, it's come down to that. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're going to say. Go on, say it. I'll just wait. That's what I thought. You know, after this radio show, I have freaking nothing to do all day. I guess I'm semi-retired, not retarded, I'm semi-retired, so to speak, I guess. I'm going to do a lot of stuff, but I don't have a 9-to-5 job is what I'm trying to say. So, I'm thinking of starting up a business, you know, I don't know what kind of business. Maybe an advice column where people pay me $2,000 to get my advice or something like that. Or, I don't know. My neighbor has a business that she has online, and it helps people organize their lives. And I'm thinking, what's the difference between that and a Tupperware party or a Pampered Chef party? I mean, do you ever have one of those things where you invite your friends, again, quote unquote. Every time now that I say friends, I do quote unquote, because I don't know what that means anymore. I really don't. Facebook friends, the term friends from Facebook has fucked up my entire definition of that word. I don't know what friends are anymore. Are they people that will, I don't even know. I don't even know how to finish that sentence. I just don't know what friends are. Your only friend is yourself. Get to it. Understand that. Or a dog. Dogs are friends. Cats, maybe. Cats are more acquaintances that are. Cats are like, cats fuck with you. They don't give a shit about you at all. They only come over to you when they feel like it. They will destroy your home and all your furniture. They can't open doors by themselves. They're very needy. But when they want to be affectionate, they will sit in your lap and cuddle and purr, and you fall into it. You go, oh my God, your cat, I love you. You are the best thing in the world. And then once the cat hears that, it'll just get up from your lap, walk away and say, fuck you. That's what cats do. They're amazing creatures. They are the bitchiest things on earth. They are the bitchiest mammals. They really are. They play you. They play you big time with their big batty eyes and their batty paws and stuff. They will purr 1 second, and the next second they will scratch your face off. They are enigmas. They are difficult to understand. They belong to the Church of Scientology, all of them. They are very strange creatures. They are from other planets, cats, not from all one planet. They're from different planets. They don't understand the ways of our Earth, and they're interesting little things. They slink around. They have fur. They mark their territory with their pee. They are annoying little assholes, but we love them all. And either you're a cat person or a dog person. I happen to be both. I guess I lean more toward dogs. But cats, they do it to me as well. The cats know how to manipulate me. Those little pussies know what they're doing. They really, really do. They are the queens and kings of manipulation. They know what they're doing. They have 9 lives. You can't kill them. Don't ever try to kill a cat, by the way. My show will be banned if I even talk like that. it's very hard to do so. They have 9 lives. Although I've seen some cats with just 1 life who were hit by a car and they didn't spring up again. But a cat will fall out of a window like 2 stories up and land on its feet and say, ooh, nice fall, and walk away. That's 1 life. They will eat incredible things that are horrible, or they won't eat at all and they'll still live. That's 2 lives. After 9, they start running out of luck. But they're wonderful little animals. I mean, they're creatures of love and compassion, and they're very relaxing. When you see a cat lying down and sleeping and purring, it's just relaxing. It's like a Zen yoga kind of thing. But dogs seem to be more intelligent. They warm up to you. They interact with you. They will, if you throw something, they will usually pick it up and bring it back to you. They will tell you when they want to do something. They get all excited. Cats don't get excited about anything. I've never seen an excited cat in my life. I know your cat. Yes, your cat gets excited. Your cat is wonderful. Your cat is different. Your cat speaks English. Your cat drives a car. Your cat has a job every day. I know. I know, I understand your cat is different, your cat is special. But dogs do interact better than cats, and maybe someday you'll understand that. Maybe, probably not, but maybe, but probably not. Yeah, maybe, probably not. Look, I'm not going to argue with you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Be good to your animals. And my God, just be good to them. That's all I'm saying. Because just be good to them. And be good to yourselves. And be good to your neighbors. And be good to your quote-unquote friends. And be good to everybody. Just be good people. No more hurting people. No more drunk driving, no more texting while driving, no more fights, no more arguments. Let's just get along like for one day. Can you do that for me after all I've done for you? Let me ask you to pay for this stuff. It's free. Now, give me a break. Just be nice to me.